I hear and see a lot of innovations. You know, people are basically, you know, flocking to find solutions, you know, across the board, and necessity being the mother of invention, I think that we're going to find some ways to mitigate, you know, the further spread, so long as precautions are taken. So I think we're going to see a lot of touchless, a lot of digital, a lot of automated, a lot more spacing. And I think that this time around, you know, hopefully people just take it a little bit more seriously. But I think if people get on the same page, you know, let's get over this, let's make sure it gets better, not worse. I think that we're going to see, you know, the world come together in a way that, that frankly we've been needing.
What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined by Corey Warfield. And for if you are not one of the 200,000 or some odd people that are following him on LinkedIn, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a waiter, 20-year restaurant veteran turned entrepreneur, the founder and chief visionary officer of Schedule, which is a smart scheduling technology. Really amazing. As I said, he's pushing 200,000 followers on LinkedIn, where he posts inspiring, funny, fascinating, motivational posts. He is an incredible person to follow, and honored to have you on, Corey. Thanks for joining me, man.
Zach, it's an honor and pleasure. I'm a fan of yours and your show. I'm a fan of what you're doing at Ovation. And honestly, when I see your content and having, you know, being kind of live with you on the other end, your energy jumps off the screen. So I know everybody watching this probably already knows that, but I'm living this, and it's an honor to be here.
Awesome, Corey. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. So first of all, talk to us about Schedule, and it's a scheduling, and it's spelled shed wool, like sheep.
Yep. So what I often have people do is I say, check your Schedule out loud.
Say what?
Check your Schedule.
Check your Schedule. Check your Schedule. Check your Schedule.
Yep. So we're just a play on the word schedule. We're a fun way to say and spell the word. And frankly, most of the English-speaking world outside of the U.S. pronounces the word schedule anyhow. Yeah. So in Australia, New Zealand, and in the U.K., right? So we kind of saw that there are a lot of sterile products in our space and a lot of sterile names. And no one had kind of tried to have fun with the name. So we took it a different direction. We have an animated sheep named Wooly, and you know, the logo was this great sheep with, it looked like a calendar, but the legs were the letters SW for shed wool. That confused people a little bit. So the logo now looks a bit more like a calendar, but the sheep's going to start coming out. And so some of our social channels, but you know, frankly, after 20 years working in restaurants, every station, every capacity, you know, from dishwasher up to corporate restaurant manager and restaurant consultant, scheduling was an issue. Changing schedules daily impacted my bonus, impacted my livelihood, impacted my income. And I realized some years ago that no one was using data to help properly staff the restaurants. And specifically, no one was using data to forecast the on-call shifts. Mm-hmm. You knew as a restaurant manager, if you would need these three or four or five people on call on Tuesday or Wednesday, you knew if it was going to rain, you knew if a game was getting out. There are very few variables. However, these poor people wouldn't know until 1 o'clock that afternoon if they were working that day or not. So some of them had kids. You can't get a child sitter. Some of them were single. You can't set a date. And at the end of the day, if you don't know how many days you're working this week, you don't know how much money you're going to make. And if you're scheduled 5 days, but two are on calls and you work 3 days, you're quite literally having to live on 60% income. Transversely, if you want that fourth or fifth day off and you're on call, inevitably in the restaurant industry, you're called in every time. Half the time you're cut when you get there. You don't make money. You don't care if you do. But so it struck me, no one's using this data. The data exists. The scheduling space at the time was very, very hot. People were raising tens of millions of dollars, selling their companies for hundreds of millions of dollars. We were using one of the big guys in the space, and I knew what it cost. It was expensive. I knew as a manager what the pain points were using it. It was suboptimal. So I put my life savings and put together a team and built what I thought was the easiest to use, most intuitive scheduling solution. And it's been some years now on the market. We've been called, you know, on some pretty fun platforms by some fairly big names. the easiest to use, most affordable scheduling software in the world. I own that. I love that. However, I've now put some, you know, some money. I've put a strong six-figure investment and some time into a new version of Schedule. So our version 2.0 will be released here in just the next few weeks, built from the ground up. It does everything that not only I wish the products did before I started Schedule, it does what I've always wished Schedule would do and what all the clients that we have been saying that they would like. So things like rules-based scheduling with templates by industry, things like an enterprise communication platform that can be used for training and hiring, things like actually taking the data and using machine and deep machine learning to forecast, you know, optimal schedules and let people work when they want to be most productive. We have some gamification to reduce turnover because that's a nightmare in the restaurant industry. And interestingly, and I know Ovation, you know, you guys are really focused on restaurants like we are, and we are because I'm the founder and chairman and I spent 20 years in the restaurant industry and I get it. However, what we found is we're being adopted by police and fire departments and hospitals and first responders. We're being adopted by departments, you know, state municipal departments to help actually, you know, staff the operations of these cities. We're seeing some great adoption in hotels. Looked like we were about to see some adoption in casinos and then the world shut down. So yeah, we'll see what happens when that gets back. But manufacturing has been a big one for us. We've, you know, here in Chicago, we just signed up Eli's Cheesecake, which we're all big fans of the company. But not only are they, you know, a big name here in the space and grocery and food and all that, but they're in Chicago where our ordinance for Fair Work Week just passed days ago and manufacturing's under it. So they got ahead of the curve. They're using us so they don't incur, you know, 5 and 6 figure fines violating the work laws around scheduling right now. But so that's kind of what we help solve. So yeah, everyone awesome. Listening just got an earful, but basically, yes, we're a smart scheduling software company and I started it because I really care about this.
That's awesome. And you know, obviously we're on the flip side of things with like the guest feedback, guest engagement. But you know, when you look at the scheduling, when you look at all of that, it boils down to that guest you know, experience. And without a good scheduling platform, without happy employees, how are you ever going to have a good guest experience? How are you ever going to have a profitable, sustainable business? So obviously appreciate what you're doing. And I think it's a fantastic idea, which is the reason that we're here today. So let's talk about today. Let's talk about this new normal. What should people be feeling, thinking, experiencing, you know, as we're stepping into this new normal?
So, you know, I'm going to try to be very, very centrist here because everyone's got some really strong opinions, but I'm of the mindset that had the world decided to take hand washing as seriously as could possibly be about 5 months ago, and if people had said, you know what, we're going to try to stay a little further away from one another and we're going to make sure we wash our hands 50 times a day, 100 times a day, I don't think we'd be in the situation that we are today. I think there's been enough research to suggest that hand washing alone, you know, could have gone a long way. And then I know it's contentious with the masks right now, but I see a great meme going around that says, if you don't think masks work, tell that to your surgeon or your dentist. And it shows a picture of either a surgeon or a dentist.
That's an interesting point. Right,
they would lose their license. You wouldn't let them work on you. They wouldn't work on you. And it's for the same reason. It's so the airborne, you know, viruses and these things don't get transmitted. And so in my opinion, this could have been mitigated a lot easier. And I don't think we're even halfway through the first wave. And I think it's fairly inevitable that there will be a second wave. And I'm not a fear guy, I'm a love guy, but I say all that to say this. I think we need to get used to everything being sanitized and everyone needing to be a little bit further away. These restaurants where it felt like you were sitting on a stranger's lap, I don't think we'll ever see that again, to be very honest. I think tables are gonna be spaced so far that you'll have a challenging time eavesdropping on the couple's first date next to you anymore, you know, for better or for worse. But I also think that so much is gonna move to digital and touchless. I've been saying for 10 years, and I'm now enthused to see, you know, in restaurants, a lot of people use micros, and it's a POS, and it's where a waiter can order anything on a computer screen. I've always said, why don't you make wireless micros, call it Wicros, I got the W on my shirt, Wicros, wireless micros, install it on their phone. Why can't an order be placed in the kitchen on a phone that the waiter has in their pocket, whether or not they're supposed to? Well, I think that's going to happen. And I think not only will waiters now be taking an order on their phone, I think customers, you walk in, geofence, menu pops up on your phone, tap a couple of buttons. This way you know what the ingredients are. You can alert the kitchen to allergies, whatever it might be. But I think that we might see some things like waiters go away in certain levels of dining, you know, kind of that mid-level. I think the intimacy factor is going to go way up. I think things like having someone opening doors for customers and sanitizing behind them. I don't think paper menus on tables will really be a thing. But I also, I believe that there are probably some spectrums of light that can be placed in restaurants that can kill the virus. I also believe that there are some heavy duty filtration systems that can be fine tuned to kill probably the 99.9% a lot of the airborne vaccines. And I do think that as someone, I sit on a number of boards, you know, both as a director, advisor, what it might be, I hear and see a lot of innovations. You know, people are basically, you know, flocking to find solutions you know, across the board, and necessity being the mother of invention. I think that we're going to find some ways to mitigate, you know, the further spread so long as precautions are taken. So I think we're going to see a lot of touchless, a lot of digital, a lot of automated, a lot more spacing. And I think that this time around, you know, hopefully people just take it a little bit more seriously. I understand that, you know, there are two different camps of, you know, people that think about the CDC and the World Health Organization and things like that. But I think, you know, everything in this world needs to become a little less politicized and polarized right now, first of all. But I think if people get on the same page, you know, let's get over this, let's make sure it gets better, not worse, I think that we're going to see, you know, the world come together in a way that frankly we've been needing. So I think there's going to be a lot of good coming out of this, but I don't think it'll, you know, just go back to the warm and fuzzy, you know, let's all huddle into this restaurant and hope our elbows don't knock each other martinis over anymore. I think that's gone.
Yeah. And you know, the new version of what a table touch is, right? Things like that, where you can't, you know, you go to a restaurant, someone comes up and says, How was everything? You know, just like you just feel the air on you. And it's like what used to be looked at as something that was, you know, polite is now looked at as something that's like unhealthy, even to certain people, scary to some people, life threatening, you know? And so how do we like overcome that? And one of the things that you're talking about, what was going on in my head is I'm thinking about this from, you know, an operator's perspective. You know, we're talking about, you know, additional sanitation. We're talking about technology. We're talking about new types of training. And, all, you know, I'm just seeing like cha-ching, 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 right? Like here's just like cost. You know, we're mainly talking to restaurants where the margins have historically been very challenging. What advice would you give as we're talking about all these things, the new normal? It sounds like the new normal comes with a lot of costs and oftentimes what feels like less revenue, right?
Yeah.
What would you say to those people that are kind of doing the arithmetic here and thinking, should I stay open?
So, yeah, and it's sad. I think, frankly, as a former restaurant consultant, if I were on retainer and I were consulting for a lot of restaurant groups right now, frankly, I think if I went over their balance sheets, I went over their P&Ls, I think I would probably tell them to shutter. I hate to be that candid. I think a lot of restaurants have rested on their laurels for decades. I think a lot of restaurants were inevitably going to be, you know, falling by the wayside anyhow. I think this has, you know, escalated all of that to the umpteenth degree. But what I would really say, restaurants have to raise their prices. They absolutely have to. They also need to reduce their portion sizes. It's imperative. People will pay more for less food right now. They get it. And the people that won't pay a little bit more for a little bit less food right now, they don't get it. They shouldn't be catered to. They should stay home. They should go to the grocery store. They should be able to cost out their own recipes. They should be able to keep their leftovers and reheat them however they want. People that want to go out and have food prepared for them and want to have that restaurant take on the risk of spoilage, they need to be okay with spending a little bit more. And if people aren't prepared to start paying 20 to 25% gratuity inclusive of tax at this point, again, I think they need to stay home. I think people can't expect to get a level of service that's not commensurate with, the fact that these people were out of income for months. And a lot of these stimuluses were nothing compared to what you can make in a decent restaurant and tips. And, I don't think it's a matter of reparations for waiters, but I think that this economy, if it's going to continue where people make a living and provide for themselves and their families off of gratuity, I think it's going to need to be safeguarded. And if not, as crazy as it sounds, I think there is a good chance that we'll be moving into a built-in gratuity like Europe does soon, which again will drive the prices even higher. And I think that could be net positive. I think there's a perceived value. I think if people can go out and get a meal out for $9.95 and feasibly pay tax and, a 5% tip or no tip, and especially when the portions are so big, half it's getting thrown out. And of course, at that price point, the customer didn't pay for that half of an entree to go into the garbage can. The ownership did, right? The management did.
Yep.
And it's just preposterous. It's a lot easier to bring somebody a little bit more French fries or a little bit more, right? But and then if they don't ask for it, if they didn't need it, yet you actually just reduced your food cost. However, to presume that people need 16 ounces of French fries on the plate or even 8 ounces of French fries is preposterous. Most people would be happy with 4 ounces and potentially could even be healthier. So I think this is the time to go back, recost down all your menu items, go back, really do dig into your P&L. And then because we're so crazy for labor and scheduling at Shedwell, I would postulate that most restaurants and restaurant groups in this country with full service restaurants, and I'll point to Landry's as a prime example, I think that they're almost always, and probably well into the 90%, either over or understaffed. I think it's very uncommon to see a restaurant that's properly staffed.
Yes.
And I see overstaffed restaurants more often, and it's a risk mitigation. However, if you have too many waiters standing around right now, all of them are making less money, and the ownership's paying them all the $3.50 or whatever it is per hour to stand around, gets eaten up by taxes anyhow.
Yeah.
They're not as happy. They're not making as much, but the restaurant is spending more on labor. That's got to go. If there are three waiters standing around, you only needed two of them, let one of them go home. Don't pay them. Make their life better, right? And so that's what we're starting to use data to forecast. This guy's on his fifth day. Digitally ask him if he wants to be there. If he doesn't, you don't need him. Save that. And it sounds so silly to people watching this, $3 an hour. On an eight-hour shift, that's $24, but two people a day could be 50. And it starts to add up really quickly.
Well, and it's not just the cost, right? But the emotional toll of the frustration. Because, I know what it's like to work a huge shift and come home with a couple of dollars in tips because it was a slow day. Like, it's very frustrating.
Well, and because this doesn't make me want to go there. Got a table too, and they didn't want any, and you wanted the three of them. So you made a third of what you wanted, and both of them would have been happier making nothing. Right? I get passionate about it, but it's so terrible, and people hearing this go, well, no, it's actually so terrible that it's now become criminal. That's what these labor laws are about that has started rolling out in the last year, the last several months, and now the last few days here in Chicago. This is the problem. The staffing and scheduling in shift-based industries, specifically hospitality and food and beverage, has been so bad that it's now becoming criminal in courts of law. And that's what, that's what we solve for. And on the other end, you're the guy in the company that's making sure that when the customers do leave, they're leaving happy. I love your logo and your name, Ovation. I mean, it's so true. If someone has a great experience at a restaurant, they will tell people and they won't go back. Unless they're on the road and then they'll go on TripAdvisor. I know I'm 1% of TripAdvisors and I get notifications every day. This person said that your review in Cancun was really helpful or whatever. I love it.
Yeah.
Right. But that's an ovation. That's go in there and ask for this guy. He makes the best martini you've ever had. Right. So I do think that just that, companies really need to be ultra focused on not only employee retention, but customer retention, customer loyalty, that type of thing. And I think we're going to see a lot more gamification in general, because let's be honest, if I'm a restaurant group and you come and eat at my place twice a month, I'm doing something right. However, if I can gamify that experience to any degree, if I can get you on my app any more often, that's free advertising. It's more touch points. It may get you in the third time a month. It keeps me top of mind. And next time you're going to go out for a steak, you're more likely to come back to my establishment. That very little to no spend to gamify an experience for your customers is, I think, going to be something we see a lot more of as well. So I see automation technology. I think that it's really just going to continue to grow exponentially and help make all of our lives better.
Dude, I love that. So what final pieces of advice would you give to people as, you know, starting to bring more employees back? Things are starting to reopen. Some things are kind of pausing, but we're in this phase of, you know, of reopening. What advice would you have for restaurant owners, operators?
So other than reduce the portion size, raise the price a little bit, make sure your staff's actually getting the gratuities that they're there for. I would say that to me, one thing, and you know, I'd love to support, you know, single location mom and pop type places. People laugh when I name this restaurant group, although there's nothing wrong with them. But you know, I'm a little bit of a foodie and a snob. But once in a while, we still do go because Rebecca loves it, and you know, I've been going there for some time. To Olive Garden for Italian food, right? And it's, yeah, you know, I'm here in Chicago. There are 100 places that hand make their pasta and they import all the ingredients, and all of them are good. But sometimes, right? I mean, sometimes I can go anywhere in the, and I still go to Olive Garden for.
You just want that gnocchi soup sometimes. You know what I mean? It just, there's nothing wrong with that.
Or way too many breadsticks, right? Yeah. Like, but what I think they've done incredibly well is that, you know, right before a guest leaves, you know, by the way, we've got these pastas you can take home for lunch tomorrow for $5. It's a built-in upsell. It's making that person's life that much better the next day. And what is it doing? It's ensuring that person doesn't eat Olive Garden once in a row. They did twice in a row. That's not going to stay good for more than a couple of days. You're eating Olive Garden again tomorrow, and it's not your leftovers that you couldn't finish. It's a brand new dish, and they package it up nice. And I think we need to see a lot more of that. All right, we got you in our door. We got you at our table. We got our per-person average out of you. How do we get a little bit more out of you to give you even more value? How do we stay top of mind, and how do we differentiate ourselves? Because there's no other Italian restaurant I go to in the city, and some of them have amazing bruschetta. Some of them have the best burrata salad you've ever had. Some of them make ravioli that will just, right, like you said, the gnocchi, melt in your mouth, little clouds of happiness, they'll call them. However, not a single one of them is giving me a fresh dish to have tomorrow, and especially for $5. And because you and I, we understand restaurants, we know what that $5 dish cost them.
Yeah.
And some of those dishes probably cost them $5, right? Some of them, some of them are almost lost leaders. However, and I say $5, they weren't $5, right? They made a couple, but some of those dishes were $1. Some of them, they just took an 80% markup on another, you know, item before the guests left, even happier than they would have. And so I think that type of innovative thinking, that's when they zig, we zag. How do we add a little bit more value? How do we, you know, frankly, you know, to get down to the nitty gritty, how do we get a couple more dollars, you know, per visit as well? And
yeah, I saw KFC did something very similar. They have a bucket of wings today, a bucket of tenders tomorrow. So you buy both buckets and then you take one home and they have like reheating instructions. I love that. I think it's a great idea.
I do too. Yeah. Well, and Panera is doing something similar, although I think it's I don't want to get into it because we would love to have Panera as a customer. But they're doing something where I think it's $7 a month. You can get unlimited coffee. And first of all, they're not known for their coffee. Second of all, maybe some people love Panera coffee, but I've yet to meet one. But it's so transparent. So you want me to give you $7. So I'm coming in for a free cup of coffee. And obviously it's where I'm going to buy breakfast every day. And, or right, it's where all of a sudden I'm going to get my apple and my soup for later, whatever it might be. And it's not working, right? People aren't signing up for a $7 a month coffee. They call it a subscription, I think. I mean, it's just, it's a classic trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. But at the very least, I would say it is innovative thinking. It's something. Yeah. How do we get, you know, how do we first get a couple bucks? Because maybe there's a whole, section of the population that never went to Panera that says, wait, $7 a month, that's less than $2 a week for all my coffee, done. And they go in and they say, well, wow, they've got bear claws and whatever Panera, they've got paninis and right. And so now they've got a new customer. Now the guy's coming every day for his free coffee, you know, quote unquote free coffee.
Right.
And you know, it's, we'll see how that works for them. I would imagine, they may need to figure out something else, but again, you know, if it works, great. But I think that type of innovative thinking, how do we do things differently? How do we get people in the door and leave even happier than, you know, they anticipated? I think it's all about, you know, exceeding guest expectation at this point. And then to what you guys are doing at Ovation, monitoring that. If not, how do we make it right? If so, how do we reward that behavior, right? I mean, it's really, I think it's all about insights and data right now as we move forward, if I really had to distill it.
I love that, man. So here are my key takeaways. One, get smarter about your scheduling. Check out Shedwell. Two, get used to the new spacing, the new sanitization, and the new scanning, right? Digital. Everything is going to be about your space sanitization and scanning because people don't want to touch stuff. People don't want to be near things. And that's not going away anytime soon. We were hoping it was going to be back to normal in 3 months. Where it's looking like we're at least a year out from seeing something of the old normal. And I doubt we're going to get back to that. Next, I love what you said. Stop resting on your laurels, right? Don't be afraid to raise prices, reduce portions, figure some things out. But with that, number four, I love that. Thinking about how do you get creative about the upsell? There is more juice to be squeezed from that consumer lemon, okay? So give it a little squeeze. It's okay. People aren't going to hate you for it. It's especially now, people understand.
They might love you for it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're going to be around. Your doors are going to stay open. And then lastly, love what you said about monitoring and taking action with that guest feedback. Because at the end of the day, it's like we spend so much time doing so much work. And if we don't get the guest experience and if we're not measuring it and improving it and resolving it, then what's the point of all the other stuff that we've done, right? So Corey, today's ovation goes to you, man, for helping people stay on shift and staying happy. Appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate the good that you're putting out there. So stoked to be, to have you on today and looking forward to your next LinkedIn post, man.
It'll be today and every day. Zach, thanks for having me. I'm truly blessed.
Thank you. Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe, and as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.